Hello, friends. Welcome to today's episode of the Empowered Together Network show on Incandescent Radio, Incandescent TV. This is our truly amazing women's series, and I am thrilled to be here with Ava Ross. She is a woman from Michigan, and she's now up in Canada, so we have lots, of course, to talk about. It is April 10th, 2025, when we're recording. This episode will be produced this month in April, and so much is happening on a daily basis. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on the board of the Empowered Together Network, Miss Ava. Tell us how you found us.
I found Incandescent. I don't know the link, actually, or how I got into it, but it was right after the 2024 election, and you were inviting people just to come on and talk about anxiety and the feelings. And I thought, well, yeah, that's something I'd like to be part of. So I showed up wearing my hoodie, and the rest of you looked like fashion models, but what the heck? So that's where it started. And it's been a great collaboration so far. Really, really enjoyed it. I love the slogan, cool, calm, compassionate change makers. That really, really covers it.
Yeah, so. And that's our goal, right? To try and bring women together from around the world. And you have a humongous, wonderful network that we're helping to bring in to the network as well, so that we can include women from different walks of life, having different but similar experiences. The whole idea is that you're not alone, right? Because we all can like want to crawl under the covers. It's a big magnet these days for the crazy that we no longer feel that we have any control of, right?
I think the cool thing is not only that we can come together, work together, empower one another, but also that we support one another on those days when you do want to go under the covers. Because that's totally normal. I mean, if we were not terrified, we would, I take French lessons, right? And I told the instructor today that I'm taking French for my mental health.
Yeah.
And we ended up spending 30 minutes just talking about the situation in the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are interesting times we live in, and I really believe that it is so vitally important that we connect with one another and build on all of our individual strengths together.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So you are actually the perfect person to have this conversation with because you are a life coach. You and I have a ton in common. We both studied positive psychology. We lived in similar places. We've had similar paths. So let's talk a little bit about you and your background.
Right. Well, I've been everywhere and done everything, right? There's a song like that. I started out long, long ago when dinosaurs roamed as a secretary, worked my way up through the ranks in corporate, left to get a doctorate, ultimately got a doctorate in educational leadership. During that time, somewhere in there, I was also a professor at a college for 5 years, and I was also a consultant. So I've seen it all. What happened with me was the path I was on was really for me a process of becoming. And I didn't realize it at the time, but all of the challenges I encountered, all the successes, they all came together to put me on the path I'm now as a life coach. It's been an interesting journey, to put it mildly. I really have learned through all that about the importance of being first and then doing, as opposed to just doing, which is something that our culture really seems to emphasize. I know that I would have a class where, in my doctoral program, where they'd go around the room and, well, you know, your name, who are you? And without a doubt, I'm a superintendent. Somebody else would say I'm a teacher, and I just wanted to say I'm a flawed human being that's evolving. Right? I mean, we're so defined by the job we do rather than the people we are. And that really has informed my desire to be a life coach because, yes, I could get great reviews from a classroom of people, but when I'm working one-on-one with somebody or in a small group, what I'm discovering. I'm working with somebody, if you will, at the ground level, and I can see the one-on-one change in them as it occurs. And that is incredibly fulfilling to me. My focus has always really been, it seems, on helping women develop, how to empower themselves, how to own their power, how to move past challenges. So this network really resonates with me. It's something I'm very excited and passionate about being a part of.
That's great. Yes. And you're going to teach classes. That's a big part of what we're doing with the Empowered Together Network. Everyone gets a 20-minute interview like we're doing today, and then the opportunity to take a class, teach a class. And, you know, so everyone makes money through that project and process, because I really feel like if we can have women explain things to each other and share and create a conversation that will transcend where we are right now, then on the other side of this and through this, we will come, you know, we will be stronger together. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about some of the things that you'll be teaching. And, you know, we both have the educational leadership background, and I do love it. I mean, I've always loved education, and the work I've done has been more as a communications director and publicist, but it's, you know, it's an amazing thing to work K to 12, K to 20, and talk about what's going on with the future of students. And right now, you know, they're trying to, it seems like this administration is trying to kill higher ed. K to 12. So it's really important that we find ways to educate people. And one of the things that you're going to be talking about is near and dear to my heart. This book changed my life. Viktor Frankl's 1946 book, Man's Search for Meaning. So tell us a little bit about that book, what you'll be teaching, and how it impacted you.
Okay, first of all, I neglected to mention I'm also a writer. And what I'm doing right now is developing blogs. And I'd like to post them on Empowering Women. I'd like to do a blog as well on books that have resonated with me, including Viktor Frankl, and seeing how people respond and open it up to maybe getting a group together just to discuss a given book. I would also like to get people to I don't see myself in a class as just talking at people. What I would do is I would maybe give a snippet of something and just facilitate around responses, because I'm a life coach, right? Life coaching is what I do. So with regard to Viktor Frankl, one thing I can say is, and I really should have this quote, I looked for it, I cannot really find, but he talked about being in the concentration camp and the difference between liberation and freedom. That he could look outside and see the Nazis walking around, and they, in a sense, were free, I guess. And yet, when I think about it, they really weren't, because they were imprisoned by this ideology that was in their head. Frankl, inside the concentration camp, did not have that freedom, but in a way, he was liberated, because he said, nobody, no matter what, can ever take away from me my right to choose how I respond. And at the time I was in corporate, I remember reading this on an airplane going somewhere, and they were doing a joint venture, and I felt in corporate, I felt really trapped. And it's nothing like being in a concentration camp, but for me, it resonated, because I saw that I didn't have to react. I could change the way I viewed things. And I think that is such a powerful concept, because right now in our environment, it's so easy to feel trapped. It's so easy to feel hopeless. It's so easy to feel anxious. And the other thing is, it's not one or the other. I can be content and present with my cats, but I can also still be upset or angry about the situation somewhere. You don't have to give up joy. I think that's one of the main things. You don't have to give up your joy. Your joy can be inside you. And this storm swirling around you, which gets into the positive psychology stuff, right? Because with the positivity, when you're focusing on things like kindness and compassion and gratitude and caring and connection, I'll throw that in, and all that, Your perspective broadens, your creativity is enhanced. When you're focusing on despair and fear, you've got the fight or flight syndrome kicking in, right? The fight or flight response, your perspective narrows because you're looking for the mastodon coming towards you, right? And right now in the United States, we're looking at an epidemic of fear, right? And it's contagious. But somebody said the other day, and I love this, they said, fear is contagious, but so is courage. And as a group, I read this somewhere too, where, golly, a lot of books to talk about. She was a pastor, and she said, in my congregation, when I lack faith, there's somebody there to help build my faith. When I lack hope, there's someone there to help build my hope, and I can do that for other people as well.
Yeah.
And I believe that this network can do that. We can do that for each other.
Yes, this
because
idea
like of being said, it's natural to feel scared.
Yeah, well, there's so much to be concerned about, things that we hold true and dear. And one of the things I love most about Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, is he was a psychotherapist who ended up in the concentration camps. He had the option to not, he could have fled, but he stayed to protect his parents and almost died so many times by hook or by crook. He survived by accident, but on purpose. And afterward, he came up with a completely new psychotherapy.
Yes, logotherapy. Yeah.
Which is amazing work. And he also, the other thing that really struck me about that book was that he said the people who survived, and there's tons of research on this versus people who didn't, the people who knew it wasn't their fault. It was not their responsibility. They just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time in history, and that they were going to survive. And those who gave up, pretty much he could tell in one day they would smoke their, that they all got a cigarette and they would smoke that cigarette. They would lay down in bed and die. And he saw it happen repeatedly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what you're saying is that if we can stand together, be courageous, take care of each other, that we can get through what come what may and survive in a beautiful way. Through it, and then on the other side, there are moments when it doesn't seem possible. But I think that that's sort of the lightning bolt we need to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I think hope is something we really, you know, we've talked about this, right? I mean, if you don't choose love over fear, if you don't choose courage over despair, if you don't choose unity over divisiveness. I mean, what choice have we got? We can either have hope and do everything that we can do, drawing on our strengths as individuals to move forward, because not to do that is basically to say yes to what's going on.
Right.
And Winston Churchill, I read this the other day, something along the lines of, what was his name? I don't remember it right now. But he countered Churchill. He said it might be better to, I don't know if he was aligning with Halifax, Lord Halifax. Whether it was aligning with the Nazis or whatever, but he was like, you know, what's with this forging forward? And Churchill responded with basically, there's no choice. I will fight until I'm choking on my blood on the ground. I'm not giving up. And the truth is that all of us are being called to do something in this and making a decision. And we can choose to be like the person in Frankl's book who said, by the end of the week, I will be free. And found out that they weren't, and they curled up in a corner and just died. Or you can choose hope, and we can all work together to move forward. Because when you face it, I mean, the United States has been through a lot over history, right? I mean, we've done civil rights, we've done the Vietnam War. I think one of the greatest things that just happened this past Saturday on April 9th were all the protests. I mean, what I read was like 5.2 million people. And I think that is really an example of what we caring, calm, compassionate, change makers can do.
Yeah, for sure. Alina, another member of our board, and I have been talking. We started the question bar, and every Tuesday at 2 p.m., we have a 20-minute conversation. 20s and 20s and Tuesdays seem to be our magic. And we've been talking a lot about the 3.5% rule, where statistics show that if 3.5% of any population joins together, they will topple whatever regime is trying to push against them and their belief system. So I think we're all, you know, hoping for that, planning on that, preparing for that. I read a bunch of articles saying this was just the beginning, that we need to double it to 10 million and then double that to 20 million until the people really speak. And, you know, you always, well, we've been hearing quite a bit from the people that said, I voted for him, but I didn't vote for this. You know, so maybe now they'll have the opportunity to change their perspective. So we'll see. You know, we can only hope that democracy maintains its hold and that the things that we believe to be true in our hearts, diversity, women's rights. There's a big push now that married women can't vote because our birth certificates don't match our driver's licenses.
Yes.
Which is beyond horrifying. You know, the suffragists
yes,
are falling over in their graves, as are the founding fathers on other issues. But I love that you're going to be talking about this and other things. The man's search for meaning work is so important. You're also, we're going to bring you back before so we can promote your living room conversations. That's going to be amazing. And overcoming barriers toward meaningful connections. That's another big topic that you'll be talking about. But for right now, we're going to focus on Man's Search for Meaning. If you all haven't read it, go pick up this book. Yes, it is a short read. It's like less than 200 pages. You can read it in a sitting. I did. And it truly changed my life. There's so much wisdom and courage in it. It's so well written. And Viktor Frankl is really a hero in my mind and my heart. So Eva, let's finish up talking a little bit about your perspective from Canada, what you're seeing up there, because you're married and you're living up there, but you also have a base in Michigan, which is being challenged by the tariffs with Canada. So what are you seeing? Take us out with kind of what you're seeing and what you forecast.
Well, one interesting thing that's been happening in Canada with the tariffs has been a surge in patriotism in this country. If you go to Costco, you will see signs now where it's very clear in bold letters where the produce comes from, including made in USA. And I was talking to somebody, I guess, who was going to pick up some fruit or whatever from the U.S., and an older lady came over to him and just basically lambasted him and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You don't buy American. You don't buy American. At the same time, you know, the app Substack, I'm seeing a lot of love flowing back and forth with people making comments. And I know that the Sarnia, Port Huron, and other U.S., you know, people that are close to the borders on both sides of the countries are coming together in solidarity and basically saying, you know, we're not going to let hatred win. We're not going to let the anger win. But at the same time, to a person, there's maybe a small percentage, but generally they don't think the tariffs are really a good idea. And the premier of Ontario basically is like, okay, you see, we've got hydro, or what we call electricity. It's over here. We can turn it off if we want to. You want to keep pushing the envelope. And I think, you know, for the longest time, Canada's identity for years was, this is how we're not like the United States, right? This is how we're not American. I think now with this challenge, they're developing a sense of their own identity. They're starting to own their own power. I think it was really telling because when Mark Carney became what you call the interim prime minister, we're having the election on April 28th to determine who will be the prime minister. But when he took on that position after Trudeau resigned, his first step, which historically has been the case, that the first thing you do is you go to the United States and meet with the president. Mm-hmm. Carney said, when Trump refers to me as prime minister and stops referring to Canada as the 51st state, when he starts treating our country with respect, that's when I will go over and talk with him. And the first thing he did was go over to Europe and talk to people over there. So I think individuals do not dislike Americans because they have a lot of friends that are there. But by the same token, the administration, they're not crazy about, and they are boycotting the United States. You're seeing a major, major drop in the people that historically would go south for the winter from Canada to the U.S. They're basically saying, no, I will pay the penalty, but I will not go over there. Because to do that basically is saying what you're doing is right and we don't agree with it. So that's the situation. I think individuals, we still have the bond of friendship. But Carney said, you know, our relationship with the United States is over. That's just it.
Tragic. But, you know, every country has to do what it's going to do. I mean, I keep trying to think this through, play it out in my mind. You know, it's amazing how hundreds of years ago, so many of us came over from Europe. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like, you know, Europe is going to pull us back. This may not be the country that, you know, of opportunity where people want to be, where we can be, where our children are free. There's freedom of expression, freedom of the press, all the things that we have held near and dear to our hearts for our lives and our parents' lives and our grandparents' lives. You know, I can see that. Yeah. I can see a mass immigration to other countries because this place no longer is what it has been.
I think though that's where it gets back to hope. I think, you know, democracy was always an experiment. It was always an ideal to strive toward. And personally, I'm still striving toward that. But I consider myself a global citizen now. And what I'll stand for is human decency. I will stand for respect of other people. I will respect critical thinking. As a matter of fact, I'm really thinking of writing a blog on that, maybe kind of like my own Declaration of Independence. But when I think about what's going on right now with the administration, it's more like it's transactional. I mean, all the presidents before us cared about the country. They were not perfect, but they cared about the country. And I'm pretty sure that isn't the case right now.
To know what is the case. But I love your optimism. I love your perspective.
And we can do.
Very excited for you to teach these classes on the Empowered Together Network. So the first one, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl's work, where you're going to have conversations with people. And we're going to lay that out as the months go past. You know, we've been coming together, our board of directors, trying to really think through how we're going to do this. Incandescentwomen.com is the website for this work. And we're in the process of transforming it into the Empowered Together Network with tons of classes, tons of interviews, tons of opportunities for people to share thoughts and know that they are not alone. So that will evolve. We're in April. You know, things never move as fast as we want them to, but slowly but surely, you know, slow but sure wins the race. So I'm in that. Now I'm in it with you, Ava. I really appreciate you being part of this. Thank you so much. So everybody, meet Ava Ross, life coach, Canadian at the moment. And we will be
dual citizenship.
Dual citizenship, which is great. Although I think that's a little bit dicey. Like I said, our friend Alina, she has dual citizenship with Russia, where she was born. And she's giving that up because she feels not safe having that second passport. So a lot of people are having to make very difficult, very trying emotional choices. And we'll see how it all plays out, but we'll keep reporting on it for as long as we can. I am determined to keep this channel live and active, and hope that, you know, the bad part ends quick as possible so that we can move on with being these international citizens.
Remember Hope when we talked about the song by Peter, Paul, and Mary, Light One Candle. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years.
Yeah.
Don't let the light go out. Let it last through our love and our tears. And I think that pretty much says it. We just have to keep the light shining.
Yes.
All of us together might have dim lights, but together we have a flame.
So thank you, Ava. Thank you to our listeners, our readers, our watchers. We will bring you another episode of the Empowered Together Network very, very soon. Check us out on incandescentwomen.com. And please join us. It's just $150 for the year, and you get this interview and the opportunity to take your class. But most importantly, you get to come together with like-minded folks who are trying to keep that light burning.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Ava.
Thank you.